Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Kentucky Dad Podcast. Big Blue Drew here. We're rolling on season two. I've lost track of the episode count. I want to say six. I'm not sure how many we're going to sneak in before I go out of commission for a while with the twins coming on. So I went to the well today for a dear friend and, you know, somebody that I have a lot in common with. And I was thinking as I'm introducing the guest that we almost have on, I believe, almost 13 feet on the podcast today because Nick Roush is joining me. My buddy, Nick, what's up?
It's a Big Blue Dad podcast today. Lots of length, as they like to say. Not a lot of strength right now. We're working to get that back. I've got an old man. I got a reminder that the old man basketball league is starting up at the end of the month. So, getting some light jogging in, getting the old knees, lubing those bad boys up to get ready for another season.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. So, you know, we always decide usually on that sweet spot, like midweek, 8:30 time slot is usually primo for the dad pod. And you mentioned that you were jumping on after a shower. So I wanted to mention the, you know, are you a night shower guy? I feel like that tells a lot about the personality. But then we are in July, so can nobody really be hating on a night shower in July? But then you clarify now that you got a little workout in this evening.
Yeah. And I would – if I did not take a cold shower, and I usually do let's just say on average, you take a 10-minute shower, eight minutes of that is cold. And then you kind of get it steamy towards the end just to kind of remind yourself
that's the opposite of how I would do it. I was going to mention two things about that. The first one, dude, when you're working out as compared to when you're not, the amount of damn laundry additions just between towels and your shorts and your workout, you know, however you're doing that undergarment style, it's very difficult. And then secondly, I was going to say the opposite. Like I totally get, but I usually will like kind of finish it off cold to kind of get out and, or else I'll be sweaty.
That's a good point. And really I have no hard and fast rules because I'm one of those two. I spent my weekend with my in-laws. It's 4th of July time. They have their big town picnic. She's from a small town in Ohio, not too far from Tyler Ulis's hometown of Lima, two stoplight town, real small, but very nice, quaint. It's basically 4 or 5 days of catching up with friends and family, and they're Busch Light country. That's the one time a year I drink Busch Lights. I'll drink 40 of them and I get my quota in for the year, but I'm not one of those guys who just drinks the same thing over and over. Maybe that's the millennial in me where I'm going to change things up, like my showering habits. For the most part, if I take a shower at night, I'm wide awake. It wakes me up. I use it as a tool to wake up. But the thing I found that's really I'm not going to act like I was some workout warrior before I had my son Duke, who's now two, but I do morning radio. I can't work out in the morning, so I'm stuck to really just going after he goes to bed. And sometimes when you do that, then you're just up all night. So you gotta pick and choose your battles.
You would have definitely struck me as a my brand guy, and I'm not wavering from that. Whatever
it be. Yeah, no,
I follow the same mode as well, and the fact that I can't fall too much into a routine. I mean, I'm very spontaneous. So on a whim, I'll change something up or want to try something new or my routine or whatever. But Nick, thanks for jumping on. So we have Nick from Kentucky Roll Call, Kentucky Sports Radio. I don't know which order they would normally kind of announce your stuff in, but obviously I would definitely go Kentucky Roll Call first. You can catch Kentucky Roll Call Monday through Fridays on the Big X Sports Radio. There's a variety of ways to listen, but you know, if you're around locally in Louisville, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, and then on, like, I think the TuneIn app. I've heard the reads enough, mm-hmm. So Roll Call kills it. They usually come on again, I think, from 9 to 11, and I'm constantly converting local 502 radio listeners to Roll Call to check it out.
Cause you're guys too kind.
Kick-ass job on that stuff. So, please, if you haven't, check out Roll Call. Because, gosh, you guys got to be in what, like year three, four now?
Our first show was after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander put Louisville in a coffin. And then Kentucky lost on a failed two-point conversion attempt to Taven Richardson, the Music City Bowl. So that was 2018, New Year's 2018. So, yeah, 18, 19, 20, 21. I guess we're four-plus years in, and it's fun. Wow. It's a fun way to start the day. I like getting my day started with that, although there are some mornings where that first hour I'm still waking up. It's
I can't imagine that. You know, I've had the pleasure to fill in just, you know, a dozen times or so, and I can't imagine that being part of the routine. I know it's very difficult because not only do you have to be up, going, and doing something, but, like, you're literally, you know, your entire job at that moment is to kind of, like, be upbeat, make people, you know, feel the moment, get up, let's do the radio. So I would struggle with that consistently. And then, you know, kind of bring it into the family, let us know what's going on now that we've had you on post baby here. But I mean, that just has to be an extreme challenge because there's no predictable mornings and no predictable nights. So there's no wavering from that. Your ass got to be on radio 7 a.m. ready to go. So I'm sure mm-hmm. that presents some challenges.
Yeah. And really the biggest challenge was when it was during COVID times, we were working remotely. And at the time, we've since moved into a new house, upgraded a little bit, but there still come some challenges with that. But at the time, my office was the one of two upstairs rooms and the baby's room was the other room. So it was like, if I'm going to do radio, I've got to be quiet. I don't want to wake the kid up. But sometimes, I mean, he's just waking up anyway, so it doesn't matter. But there's this, today was one of those days, and I've learned this, Drew, with a toddler, that there's just some days that are just bad days. And you have them as an adult, but you don't realize what they're like for kids, and it's just a lot of crying. And just like today, it was just like, I just want to play with Dad. I'm tired of you, Mom. Where's Dad? And if I would come down from my office, peep downstairs, then it was just I was giving up 30 minutes bare minimum. He wouldn't nap without me. Tried to get him to nap. I mean, it was just one of those days. And you know what? Sometimes we have them. And I've at least learned in 2 years that, like, as angry as I am at the time for whatever it might be, just breathe in, breathe out. It'll be over with soon. Like, especially the not going to sleep thing when you're just like, on running on whatever fumes it might be, the amount of anger in your heart is just, it's flooding out of you. And then as soon as they finally go to sleep, you walk downstairs or whatever it might be, you exhale, and 15 minutes later, you're like, God, why was I so mad? Like, just let the kid cry it out. You know, it's eventually going to be over with and you're going to be able to move on, relax.
Yep, that's always advice I like to pass on as well. Whatever phase is stressing you or giving you the most pain points, like as soon as you get it figured out, it'll just be something else. But yeah. I'm definitely not one to offer advice on anger management, though, because that is by far my worst trait as a person and father. And, like, I have a bad I just feel like I'm always on stage no matter where I'm at, like, if whether I'm at work or doing other things, like, so kind of when I get home, like, just everybody that I kind of wanted to tell to F off throughout the day, I feel like it just, like, comes out and explodes at the worst moments, which I'm sure happens to a lot of people. Home is a safe space. And but still, that's something that I know I definitely could work on. And you're totally right, too, because whenever you do look back after, especially if you have a big anger episode, or, like, it usually is fueled or set off something so small and insignificant. Somebody gave me the advice once of, like, I don't know, I guess it's kind of common stuff, but, like, if it's not if it won't matter in a month, it was like, you know, like a minute chart, like, if it won't matter in a month, don't worry about it for 5 minutes. If it's matter in a year, but, you know, that's just a chart. That's like the poster of the wolf that says courage and I'm supposed to fight Mike Tyson or something, you know.
they're also a lot easier said than done, and it's just all practice. So, and I feel like that's what parenting is. It's practice. Cause you said it best earlier. I remember, I forgot what it was. But I thought that I had something figured out, I think it might have been the swaddle. I'd finally figured it out how to get the arms, the infant's arms, to stay in the swaddle. And then as soon as I had done that, he refused to be swaddled. It was like, as soon as that happens, it's like, nope, I'm going in the easy Velcro sleep sack. Whatever you just learned, forget about it, because I don't care anymore. Stuff like that, it can be so damn frustrating, but it also makes it fun, makes it all worthwhile.
What did I think you had talked about it a little bit, but you guys had a good Fourth of July holiday. What's today? Today's July 6th, so a couple of days mm-hmm. past now.
Yeah. Oh, we really did. And shout out to a year of just mood swings, because last year my son Duke would not get in water. Now he liked baby pools, you know, but he did not want you to put on any sort of floaty. He didn't want you to put him in a floaty. If he was going to be in a pool, you had to hold him and he just wasn't really going to like it. This spring we went down to Gulf Shores for spring break, or, you know, that area. And he saw a kid jumping in the pool. We tried to like ease him in there. He didn't like it. But when he saw the other kid jumping in, he had to jump in. Well, now we can't mention a pool, big splashes, or anything unless we are getting in the car to go, because now he will, I mean, just for hours. And so our really good friends just got a house with a pool, and that's 3 hours, 4 hours. He could go all day, basically until he drops. So that's been a nice luxury this summer.
Comfortability around water, great thing for children, no matter mm-hmm. where you live or what you do, always could come in handy for sure. Couple quick topics. I've been jotting down a few notes throughout the week mm-hmm. for the dad pod. One, really, this is just peak AAU stuff here. So are you okay. familiar at all with the Run for the Roses girls tournament, Nick?
I am not. Please enlighten.
I mean, there's really not much to tell. It's basically just a girls AAU basketball tournament that takes place annually at the Exposition Center here in okay. Louisville, Kentucky.
So it's a big one.
Yes. So what I've been told is that this is the largest basketball event in the world under one roof. So, you know, in these other events you go to, you know, if you're covering every sport or ever go watch, you know, it might be in Atlanta, it might have like, you know, seven high schools that it's spread out between, or, you know, some type of arena and a couple one-off locations. This one being the Exposition Center, you can, courts mm-hmm. as far as you can see. So this is the peak AAU part. I kid you not. So I have the screenshot. So today, my daughter's team, Dana Evans Elite, played at mm-hmm. 4:26 p.m. on court 80 in the Fuchsia Pool.
Like, this I love thing, the fuchsia.
Yes, this thing is, I mean, and it is like every bit as enormous as I'm describing. It's like unbelievable. I mean, if you've ever been to the Exposition Center, you know. But I want to say that so I know there's over 100 courts, so at any given time there's 100 games going on. Mm-hmm. and another part that I laugh about, that so if you think, most of the referees are probably local, right? So if you've ever been to any stuff around here, you know, you can imagine trying to dig up, you know, 200 couple hundred referees to do this stuff. So well, that's a good time. It's a spectacle, to say the least. It's pretty unreal.
Yeah, I got my eyes. I played in the Hoop Fest back in the day, and that was large, but it was maybe 50 courts tops. Like, it wasn't even close to the scale. The one that's crazy is the volleyball tournament they do there in May. May or April, something like that. And I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but I've worked it before. It was easy little side money doing PA work. But they get up to 150 in those places. I mean, it's just trying to find your way. You've got to build in that time. But I, you know what though, it is fun, and I'm sure it's got to be as exciting as a dad. Which, Drew, that actually brought up something I had in mind that I wanted to talk about today.
What's that?
Well, my son, I'm actually recording in my son's toy room right now. He's got a lot of toys, but he really just likes to play ball. That's nice. Just whatever, you know, basketball, volleyball, soccer ball, hike ball, is football, baseball, t-ball. He loves them all. So I was thinking, what would be the most fun and also the worst sports for your kid to be in? That you're growing up, you're going to the games. And, Drew, I got to say that basketball is near the top of the list as a best sports.
Yes.
And I think the big reason is –
well, there's one major reason.
It's indoors.
Exactly, yes. there's no – it's going to be very hard-pressed. I mean, as someone that's about to have three boys under 3.5, I know I'm going to be doing some damn little league and stuff, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But particularly the one that I always hear is most painful through people I know and things are as girls softball, just sitting outside. Like, you know, there's days mm-hmm. when I've definitely been in an AU gym somewhere for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours. So if you traded that for, you know, the middle somewhere in Wherever, Georgia in August, no thank you. So I definitely gonna say indoor sports. And I'll start off another another bad one. Maybe not necessarily bad, but definitely different and challenging because my wife, who's from Michigan, you know, when we're having our moment like, we need to be there for XYZ, she'll say, because my parents were always at the bottom of the ski hill, you know, when I was skiing and captain of the ski team and, you know, they drive to this mountain just to watch me, you know, slide down at the end. So I would have to think skiing really sucks from my parental love perspective.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, at least they're kind of, you know, they can be in the lodge. I never even thought of that one, but I thought you were going a different direction. Because one positive, especially with women's basketball, a lot of scholarship opportunities, you know, there's full rides there. Mm-hmm. And if you're just even middle of the pack on a good team, like your daughter's on a very talented team, you don't have to be the best one to get Division I looks. My sister's played at NKU. They got their school paid for, like, awesome, you know? So that matters. The one indoor sport that I think would be terrible is swimming, because swimming is not one of those things that, A, I can provide any insight into. B, it's an all-day affair. Like the swim meets, you're there for 12 hours, and the kid might race 2, maybe 3 times for, depending on the event, 30 seconds to 2 minutes a pop. That just sounds miserable. And, like, I don't even know if I'd be able to tell, like, they're swimming faster. Like
which one's Billy? He's the red cap.
That would be bad. In the same vein, track and field. You're there all day. You're outside. And you know what? If my kid's fast, I want her to play another sport. there's only so many people. There's only so many Jordan Anthony's and Abby Steiner's out there, right? Like, most of them are maybe fast at the local level. If you can figure out how to do other things while you're fast, then that's where you're really valuable.
Well, yeah, if you like football, that's when you're really valuable for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I also am one of those two that I know people are like, oh, I don't want my kid to be in football, CTE. Well, I mean, they can wait to play. But the thing that's great about football, being a football parent for high school Friday nights.
I can't imagine, dude. Don't even start. I talk to this about people I know and about the kids playing football in general. I can't imagine the adrenaline. I can't imagine. It's like I said, I stutter even talking about it, but I'll dispel your two a little bit though and say that, well, I guess either way, I guess they could be on necessarily a team, but if they were, the only nice thing about those would be if they were individual events, mm-hmm. it'd be worth the wait. You know, if your kid was in an individual event, I feel like you'd be pretty charged up, but, swimming too, you don't even get to really see them.
So, yeah, they're in the water. Dude.
Anything outdoors besides, you know, baseball, I guess in football, you don't even really count. Cause you're not really like, football is just so much different because it's not like you're not going to play 6 football games in a weekend.
Yeah.
You might do some of that 7-on-7 crap or whatever they do now.
I hate that stuff. Yeah.
We'll be playing football. Well, I was a Hikes Point Lobo. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. Ooh. What were you?
I guess Rondo's a little bit older.
He's just a tick older than me, though. My brother was on a team with him. I have I've had to have told this story 100 times on here, but I'll tell it again. I actually have the program. So we played in the Super Classic, the last one. I believe it was the last one at Cardinal Stadium.
Old Cardinal Stadium, yeah.
And we played that year. We played against Rondo. The Lobos played against DOS.
A DOS Dragon.
Okay. So yeah. I have the program for this game. It's pretty sweet. So we won 7-6. And wow. Rondo scored a touchdown to essentially should have tied the game as late in the game and got a penalty for celebrating and pushed the kick back and they missed it and we won 7-6. My brother and I were on the second string offense and as the coach was, man, God bless him, he was told 7-6. He wanted to get us in so bad and we ran on the field. I was the quarterback and just didn't get the snap down, so we didn't get to play in the game. But I'll never forget that though. It was pretty cool. And back then, dude, before middle school, They didn't have middle school football when I was growing up. So, I mean, dude, that was probably some of the best teams I've ever played for as far as, like, just the culture. It was insane.
Yeah, and I played it before I got into, like, the Catholic School League was only for the older ones. Like, the middle – you had to be in middle school basically to play. But what's really funny is I went to a friend's wedding. We were on the same DOS team, flag football, when we were 5 years old. Like, we didn't go to school together the entire time, but that was 25 years ago, you know, and we're still debating who won that race after that first practice, which it was definitely me. It was definitely me.
Nice. And you don't have to be modest. I'll pump up Duke for you because, I mean, between you and your wife, I mean, you're definitely you have a lot of things going for you on the athletic side. I mean, we're expecting a big, strong lad here, are we not?
Yeah. My wife, she played volleyball at U of L, and that's a sport too that there's a lot of opportunities. And even though there can be a high burnout rate if you get them in that club ball too early, because, like, you know, I was kind of burnt out on sports by the time it was all said and done. I wanted to party. I'd gotten my fair share of injuries and stuff. But in some of these girls, you know, when you start at 10 years old and you're playing 10 months out of the year, there's some wear and tear. But, like, my sisters, they didn't do any of it. They won a state championship. My cousin, she didn't start until she was 14, maybe.
Where they won a state championship at?
They won it at Mercy, which I think is where
– I feel like Mercy's won. Yeah. Somebody told me that the other day they won like 17 of 21 state championships or something.
They've had their
– Or regions. Maybe it was regions, something like – but it was not state championships. But they've won the region like an insane amount of times.
Yes.
And I also saw a startling stat too. Sorry, somebody just talked to me about this. That, like, no JCPS school has won a volleyball region in, like, however many decades or something long. It's just constantly the Catholic schools, which makes sense because they're kind of – they grow up with that pedigree. And that's a very transferable sport, too. Every time a lot of times there'll be a younger girl playing basketball, you know, before high school, and I can tell they have some volleyball training just the way they track the ball and they don't need to be looking at their feet and things like that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. And you're right, too, where – I think it's indoor, and also if they don't do well enough, like, you might just be an average player and still get like a MAC look, or hell, you can go and play sandball. You know how awesome it would be if Duke was just like, you know what, volleyball's pretty fun. I'm just going to play a lot of sand, and oh, look, let's get on the AVP tour, and I can just travel to all the beaches around the world and watch him play volleyball. Like, oh, twist my arm.
Volleyball's exciting, too, so that's a good one. All right, let's keep checking down the list. So my other one, put a tweet out about this, and hopefully you've had the chance to experience the wonder that is the department store Menards. Have you been to Menards?
Oh, save big money at Menards.
Dude, it is amazing. I don't know why this isn't talked about more. 11% off everything. I know, and then – dude, I don't care if it's – so if you're not familiar with Menards, because you may not be, newer, Home Depot / Walmart, we'll get into that in a second, chain that originated more in the north, like I think it's actually like Canada, but I know Michigan, Illinois was big. But yeah,
very Midwestern. Midwestern.
So yeah. So think of like Home Depot and Walmart kind of having a baby. And this is what I keep saying about it. Like if Home Depot has 15 ceiling fans for you to choose from, then Menards has like 40. It's absolutely unbelievable, their product selection. And it's just nice, Nick, that you're not in a Kroger, a Lowe's, a Home Depot, or a Walmart. Like, it's just something new and fresh. But I'm just blown away every time I go back in there. It's wild.
So I would say that Menards, it's like it is a little bit – it's a cheaper version of your Home Depot and Lowe's. So, like, I'm not going to go in there to buy my tools necessarily. But any sort of light bulb or, you know, like extension cords, any sort of that sort of junk, like, it's perfect. The randomness there, because they do have random groceries, and you're like, oh, I need that.
Yeah, it's like a different – the brands and stuff just throw you off. You feel like you're like you feel like you're on a road trip, maybe shopping in like Canada or something, because you've just never seen any of this crap.
Right.
And then you're lost too, because the average, you know, even if you're – even young kids, probably they walk into a big box in the U.S., they kind of have a feel for like what they're doing, but just the way the stuff's laid out in there, you're just not used to seeing it. It's like the kitchen cabinets are across from like the frozen section.
My favorite time of the year to go to Menards, though, their holiday decorations.
Yes.
That's because they have outdoor stuff, but they also have like the knickknack junk that like your grandmother would have, where it's like a little house or something.
Yeah.
I don't know where I would put it, but I want some of those things.
Like a lot of toys. They sell like a lot of dollar toys. I keep stressing. Okay. But another reason I brought it up too. So have you ever done like an online pickup order there for something like large? Probably not, I would assume. Okay.
No.
So I'm driving in. I'm you know, thinking, you know, nowadays, like, you know, there's somewhere I'm going to go because we bought patio furniture. Didn't see anything. So finally I drive around to the back of this place and it's like a lumber yard, like for as far as I can see. It's basically like another store back there. And you like scan your phone to get access in. It was so organized. Like, I don't know. I'm just a big plug for Menards. They don't sponsor the podcast, but please still make sure you're going to aseaofblue.com. And then like Nick mentioned, they do an old school, like service merchandise style, paper only, mail in your receipt to get 11% back on everything all the time. So, I mean, if you're spending some money, that really is a good deal. And
I think too, it is worth mentioning the reason why probably a lot of people hadn't heard of it. They just, the one on Preston, I think is the first one in Kentucky.
Yeah, it resonated with me a little bit too, because I've never been to the gas station when the gas station fever thing happened a few weeks ago. I feel like Menards should have been like the exact same, like welcoming and like blowing people away. I just don't think for some reason this like 17-acre place in Louisville and Jeffersonville is just kind of forgotten about and hidden. But that's your homework, Dads. Go to Menards if you haven't been.
They do have similar vibes, those two places. Like, we're going for big scale, a lot of different stuff that you normally don't find at a place like this. But you're also, whenever you go in there, you're going to see something. You're like, huh, I need that welcome mat. Or, you know what?
Yeah, exactly.
That tie-dye t-shirt. I'm going to get me one of those today.
I bought a 9-pound bag of gummy bears when I was there. And they're complete fire. They just have like enough Menards. We'll get them to sponsor. Maybe we'll plug them a little more. One thing I've been asking, Nick, I don't think we asked this the first time we had you on in season one. So, again, we have Nick Roush from Kentucky Roll Call Monday through Friday, 7 to 9. You can catch it on the Big X Sports Radio. But I have to assume a tall guy like yourself. Give us some nicknames growing up. And I mean, I know you still have a lot now, but what are some Roush nicknames over the years?
Oh, man. So, the one that didn't stick a ton – but I got made fun of for a lot. I was mid-growth spurt, probably sixth or seventh grade. You know, had the Osgood Slaughters on my knees, was really clumsy. And during one basketball practice, I just went and took a jump stop. And it was like just during a passing, full court passing drill. And I tripped over the line, fell. And when I broke my fall, I broke two of my fingers. The ones that Spider-Man would use to sling his web, the middle two ones. And it was it was one of those things where it was very annoying, but I could still play some. So, like, you know, I think I sat out of practice for like 2 weeks and then wrapped it up and played in the state AAU tournament the next week or something. But my friends, they loved to make fun of me for just – I couldn't even just jump stop without falling down. I had to trip and break my hand. And when I had that cast on, it looked like I had an ice cream scoop. And my coach called me two scoops. And so that was that one kind of hurt. The other one I got that I actually thought was endearing is they would call me Psycho T because I was just diving all over the floor. I was taking charges. I was the big hustle guy. And that was during peak Tyler Hansborough times. And you know what, I respected that. There was a mid-range Roush folded along in there. I actually didn't get too many tall ones.
Your last name is kind of a nickname too, so you kind of get sold short on that, because I know you're widely known as Roush as well.
Yes And I mostly, my friends are, I tell people my friends are on a last name basis with me. But The one that irritated me the most, that I had to actively ignore, because if they knew it ticked me off, they would just call it, they would just say it more. They called me Ed, like the guys, the cartoon characters from Ed, Edd n Eddy. Oh, hey, Ed. And it was because my voice went from kind of squeaky and high pitched to deep really fast. And I would have some doofy moments from time to time. They'd be like, "Stupid Ed." And that one really, like, I didn't want to be the dumb Jethro Bodine, you know, and because I had book smarts, not necessarily street smarts. That one irritated me a lot. So I had to actively internalize that, or else I would still be getting called Ed to this day.
Yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't have pegged you for that one. But again, like I said, with your last name, I know that you get that in general. So I think our last guest, if you haven't listened, I think it was Keith Farmer. Keith Farmer came on, and obviously his with the last name Farmer, he got a lot of them related to farming. Another one, I might have asked you this, or we might even talk about this on radio, but I'm gonna start doing this quick one hitter whenever I can. What about a celebrity crush? We're talking maybe like middle school era. Who's some celebrity crushes we have?
Ooh, okay. One of them came on Pop 2K Radio this morning on XM. I was jamming to it on the way to work.
Morning look back. Okay.
Do you remember the pop singer JoJo? Pop singing sensation. Yes.
I feel like it was just like that was the one big song. I can just see the TRL like intro.
Right now, it's the end of you. And she had two songs. She had that one, and she had It's Just Too Little Too Late. And then she was in a Robin Williams movie, RV. And most of it was like, oh my gosh, she's super famous. She's pretty, and she's the same age as me. I might have a shot. The big one, though, was Jessica Alba. That was
no need to say more. I always tell the same when people ask me. I always say that mine was Kate Winslet for two big reasons. But like, totally true though. I think I was like now I was about, I don't know, like 11 or something when that movie came out. So yeah, that was good. And I was good.
You had to wait a long time to get to that scene too. That was
a lengthy movie. Yeah, it's about a three. That's such, I don't care though. I'll always go to war for that because I'm a big movie fan. And I still maintain that's one of my all-time favorite movies. Not necessarily because of the content of the movie, but to me, that's just what the movie should be. It's like, it was such a big spectacle when that thing came out. And you know how it was such a to-do, you know. And to me, that's just what the movie should be. Like, the Jurassic Park, really enjoyed Top Gun. Like that the movies are coming back, which has been nice. So we went to the drive-in and saw Top Gun. I think we talked about that on the podcast for Memorial. I guess that was Memorial weekend, so. A lot of movies coming out, man. They're filtering through now. Hollywood is back.
It's all the way back. I love Top Gun. I want to see Elvis. That's I got real hyped for the previews, but didn't see a lot of great reviews once it came out. Either way, I do want to go enjoy that in the theaters. But you're right, movies are back. But that is one of those things that when getting a babysitter, it's pretty far down the pecking order. Especially when things come out relatively quickly, like the superhero movies, they're probably better in theater, but they come out on, you know, especially the Marvels, like this Thor movie that's about to come out. It'll be on Disney Plus this fall, you know? So like, I'll just wait till then.
I sound like this is the biggest get off my lawn dad thing, but I'm telling you, man, through COVID, the biggest thing as far as like, you know, just my like leisure routine is like, I just do not enjoy or want to go out to eat. I just feel like it's a waste of time. I'm just sitting there like, we could like, what are we doing? Unless it's, especially if it's just like, you know, the wife and kids and I'm just like, we should just be home. I don't get it. And I mean, I used to be huge on going to the movies, but as the guy I worked at Best Buy, I'm pretty proud of my home theater at home. And yeah, it just seems like let's wait for the streaming side of it for sure. But as far as some content goes, something I did watch this week, and I'm glad that you're on this week because same age, I mean, you'll be all over this, but I finally had a chance to watch the And One Streetball documentary that they made. And I specifically, I'm not even, this sounds like real losers, but like, I genuinely did like wanted to wait till I was in like a good frame of mind to watch that because I knew it was going to be like smelling like, you know, your elementary school was just going to take you back far. And it actually wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. It was still great because I mean, it's all that, you know, a camera was just always rolling, but it goes back and looks at just, the start of the And One clothing and shoe company, which you kind of forget how, you know, that was the actual thing. And then just playing those mixtapes, you know, the very first mixtape really in a, you know, it was just weird. That was really the first time that had been done. But anyway, it was basically
just YouTube before YouTube because you didn't have to show a whole game. You know, they could be at Freedom Hall for 2 hours and it's just crunched down into 15 minutes, like half of one of the ESPN2 and one mixtape tour kind of deals.
Like, yeah, they, I mean, it you forget and you don't, you know, it sounds so silly now because that's all your timeline is, but just how simple the art of clipping out those highlights and putting them with music, just how simple of an idea that was, but it was like no one else had ever done it. And then if you remember, you'd go in like Foot Action or something and they'd have the actual VHS tape of the N1 Volume 1 or Volume 2 documentary playing. And that's when it really combined. It really like really cemented like shoe hip hop culture and stuff with basketball even further. And it was just interesting because I remember, man, I was like living that life. I love that show. I bought a camera and I was actually twice went. So, you know, the premise of the actual. So then when the actual TV show came out, that's kind of right when it was like at its major peak and then starting on a descent. You know, the idea of the show was they would show up in a city. They would basically be like, hey, y'all play street ball. We'll pick the best players throughout these games. Mm-hmm. And that team will play. And then we'll play you guys. Like, see who's better than one of that city. So I know they came to Louisville once, I believe.
Yes.
And then I have a great memory of just –
because like, they made it a big deal because Escalade, Curtis Jackson, yeah, was a Cardinal. Exactly.
I remember that. But I actually did a trip that I'll never forget to Atlanta, just like sitting there with a buddy. And actually a buddy of mine, one of my best friends that passed away. So it's always an awesome memory because I remember he wasn't really a hooper, but he was always with me. So he was like, let's go. You can do it. You can do it. So we drove to Atlanta like in the middle of the night, got there. I went in a parking lot it was cool, man. I got a band and got to go to like the next game, but I was never going to get like through. But it was just an awesome memory. And I know I'm sure a lot of people listening, if they're our age, I mean, we just forget about how that really, how much that changed. And they were going back, Nick, and doing like clips in of like, you know, some of the stuff Hot Sauce used to do and then showing like Steph Curry or whoever. And it's like, man, you can't deny just how that wave for that few years like changed basketball like as a whole forever.
Do you have a song that you think of when you hear when A&1 mixtape is brought up? Is there a song that pops in your head?
Oh gosh, I don't know. It would be too far after this, but I always think was like our run out song for layup lines was T.I. Bring Him Out. So that one I always think of.
That one, the one that really hits for me, it's because my best friend had the Street Hoops video game, which was, it had, you know, Helicopter, Skip to Malou, Ray for All, the Professor. It had all of those guys where you just played as them. But the song, the big soundtrack to it was Roll Out by Ludacris.
Yeah.
So I always had that one in my head. That was good times. Did A&1, were they the ones that made Dadas, or was that its own thing?
I think that was its own thing. You know what else I found really hilarious about this too? You may or may not know this. I had no idea. But the A&1 brand that was, to my understanding, like was at its inception when all that first happened, was like a bunch of like old white Australian dudes or something. Like they were basically just like an investment. And I won't say like they even used the words like, I'm not going to say exploiting. They were like, but they definitely were like, you know, they had kind of seen that pairing from a mile away. So it's funny watching them in the documentary because it'll go from like Hot Sauce or whoever to them, and they just are like, yeah, we kind of just riding the wave.
Yeah, we dumb luck, you know. Like sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't.
All right, let's see what else we got. Real quick, since we got you on, we got to talk a little football. I'll kick it off by saying I'm pretty upset, Nick, because we got the list going like we do every year over at A Sea of Blue, where we're doing some player previews. You know, we're gonna get those ready, start cranking those out over the next few weeks. So make sure you're checking them out. And somebody claimed JJ Weaver off the bat. And I don't think they know what they did. I'm gonna have to get in touch with them. But JJ Weaver was off the board, so I'm pretty upset because I had him every year. I don't know what they should have known he was mine for sure.
Yeah. What the hell were they thinking? Mm-hmm. What the hell were they thinking? It's one of those things where I kind of put some of my planning off until after 4th of July. Things never feel real until 4th of July comes and I got to start making my plans for SEC media days. You know, I've got, we have tentative plans already, but there's now it's like, all right, time to get in my research, find out what's happening at other schools across the SEC because, you know, especially in the transfer portal era, I mean, hell, half the quarterbacks in the SEC, they were playing for other SEC teams last year. So getting all of those ducks in a row, I'm really excited, really looking forward to it. The only thing, just the only thing that's put any sort of damper on expectations, full steam ahead, we're going to Atlanta, is just not knowing what the hell is going on with Chris Rodriguez, where I'm hoping that we'll know something definitive about how long he's going to be out by the time SEC Media Day starts. Knowing Mark Stoops, I'm not optimistic, but it is frustrating that that's – if it does drag on, which I just hope it doesn't. It isn't like an old quarterback competition that just really – never goes away. And if there's one thing dominating the conversation, it tends to weigh things down. So I hope that whatever the jury is, I know his case legally reached a settlement earlier this week where he pled guilty to a DUI offense. The other stuff that we've always just talked about, but nobody really knows what the hell it is, that adds something to it. I don't know what, but you just hope, like, hey, so we're going to have him week Florida week two, or is this a let's see how things are in October? I just know that he's been with the team all summer, like everything is good to go as normal. But other than that, that's the one thing that's kind of got me a little bit hesitant going into this, what could be an historic 2022 season.
So I know stuff like this pops up a lot, you know, where people, if anybody knows, Nick Roush knows, or, you know, somebody, or Kyle knows, or, you know, something like that. So is this Chris Rodriguez offseason situation, has this been the most, like, maybe that you've been asked behind the scenes or blown up? Are people really digging at you or what? I have to imagine.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's this one right up there with it was the 2016 year when people were really pissed at Stoops. And it was the South Carolina game. People always point to the Mississippi State game as the game that Stoops saved his job. But 2 weeks before, Kentucky hosted South Carolina. And that was when there was rumors going around that the boosters were going to use some morality clause because he was cheating on his wife or something. Like that. That was the rumor. That was how they were going to get Stoops fired, so they didn't have to pay his buyout. And I don't know who they were going to bring in or what it might be. But I swear to you, that day, Drew, I got every person that in my contacts that liked Kentucky asked me if I had heard about that rumor and is it true? And I had an automated response. It was, yeah, I've heard it. No, I don't think it's true. I don't know if it's true. But then Kentucky won that game. People quieted down. And then those went all the way away when Austin McGinnis hit that game-winning field goal. So those are the two big ones where everybody and their brother is trying to ask me what the hell is going on here.